Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, you're a good God, a wonderful God. I thank you that we're here today, Father. I thank you for our worship. Thank you for our fellowship. I thank you for all the little ones next door having great fun with their Nerf guns. I speak out a blessing over them. I speak out that they'll have heard our singing, wondered what was going on. Speak out a blessing over our own little ones as they go into their class. Blessing over Michelle as she goes to teach them. You're not teaching them. All right, you're coming back. Okay. Hallelujah. So I'm not operating in a word of knowledge this morning then. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for this word we're about to sow into our hearts. These seeds that we're about to sow. I thank you for your word, Father. I thank you for the truths, for the power held within. I thank you for the authority that these words give us. I thank you for your scriptures. I thank you that they were breathed from you, God. I thank you that they're inspired by you. They're the truth. They're incorruptible seeds. They are never ending. I thank you for your word. I thank you for the seeds that are about to be planted into hearts as we listen here, as we listen online, as we listen on CDs. I speak out a blessing over everyone listening, and I speak out understanding in the mighty name of Jesus for these seeds that we're about to plant. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Awesome. It is one of the joys of being in a shared building, isn't it? That you can hear the little ones in their Nerf party. But they're in a holy place today. Because we're here. Because Jesus is here. So I just pray that somebody will have heard something this morning. Amen. Turn with me to Colossians 1. Yep, we're still there. Colossians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and of the love which ye have to all the saints. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Amen. I'm starting to work my way through Colossians. We are now in week 3. I'm getting on to the third verse. It says, hallelujah. Hallelujah. A little bit of sarcasm there, Emily. So, we're getting through it. This is week 3. We've seen Paul giving his credentials. He does that every time he writes an epistle. We've heard his greeting. What's his greeting? Grace and peace. 13 times in his epistles. I'm not so sure about Hebrews, but definitely the 13 we're certainly sure he wrote. He mentions this grace and peace. We're challenged the first week, weren't we? I know we're all saints, but are we faithful brethren? That was a good message. And then last week we looked at grace and peace, Paul's traditional greeting. We also looked at Peter's epistles, didn't we? See how we can multiply these in our lives. We can multiply grace and peace through epinosis, through knowledge of him, through experiential, heartfelt, heart-known knowledge about Jesus. Not just head knowledge, but knowledge that we know, and we know it works. Epinosis. That increases grace and peace in our lives. Two good messages. Get onto Facebook or get onto the website if you've not heard them. So, let's carry on today, looking further into the epistle. And I really felt, I've been meditating on, and because I'm preaching in a series, I've been meditating on the verse all week I knew I was going to preach on. So I've been meditating on, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. I've been meditating on that all week. And it's giving thanks and praying that I've been meditating on, that I've been able to link together. And I've had a bit of an awesome week. Maybe something to do with being in a state of thanks and prayer. Maybe. Or could it just be a coincidence? I don't think anything's a coincidence. Yeah, I had a good week. I had a fantastic time on Thursday. The car went in for an MOT. Oh yeah, of course it passed. Of course it passed. But it was awesome. What an amazing day I had. I took the car in. It was just for an MOT, and then the girl phoned up and said, oh, you're just there. I thought about another 2 hours. Yeah, okay. So the car was due to be in about 4 hours. So I thought, oh, that's great. I'll just throw the bike in the car. And then got out the bike at the garage, handed over the keys, and then went for a cycle. So I cycled around, I went to the library, went to the Biblical Gardens, cycled over to Langbride, round the back roads. But spent a lot of time sitting, meditating on the message. And it's the results of that meditation that I want to teach on today. But the first thing I want to do is to encourage you to do what I did on Thursday. Take time out and meditate. It was a windy day, and the car was in for an MOT. That had the potential for a dodgy day, didn't it? That had the potential for a bad day. That had the potential for a boring, boring day. But guys, it's the best day I've had in months and months. Absolutely fantastic. It was awesome. Could have been a wasted day, could have been a boring day, but it wasn't if you use your time wisely. And for once, hallelujah, for once, that's what I did on Thursday. Use my time wisely. I did go for a cycle, but then I found somewhere out in the wind. I sat and I meditated on the word, and I was blessed. I made a wee video for the disciple group that I'm teaching in India, sent that to them, encouraged them to meditate and be blessed. Not just meditate on any old thing. Do you know, meditating mainly in our culture is worry. That's what most of them meditate. No, I'm not. I don't meditate, Vic. I don't meditate. Yes, you do. Do you worry about anything? That's just negative meditation. I can't meditate, Vic. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Because you can worry. I'd recommend you all do it. Really blessed me. So, what could have been a boring, tedious day? You know, still, what could have been a boring, tedious day turned out to be fantastic, but for most people, it would probably have been a boring, tedious day. Because I sat in the Biblical Garden and meditated on the Word. But for a lot of people who haven't got the concept of how important the Word is and how it can change your life and how good it is for you, that does sound like a boring day. But it wasn't. I'm not going to say what Nunzi said that day when she went on about how excited she likes the word. I'm not going to mention that. Amish, no. Nunzi knows what I'm talking about. So I'm not going to go there. Colossians 1:3, that's where I was. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. That's all I've meditated on all week. What a verse. It links two things together that quite often we separate or we don't put together. Prayer and thanks. For most people, prayer is, Lord, I need this. Lord, this is going wrong. Lord, I want that. Can you do this for me? Lord, I need this. That's what a lot of prayer is. But that's not what it should be. Prayer and thanks should be mixed in together. If you listen to my prayer at the start there, I use thanks quite a lot. If you listen to me in Bible studies, most of my prayer is giving thanks. I want to talk about that today. So what does that word give thanks mean? It's an excellent word. I like looking at the Greek, and this really excited me. It's a very interesting word. That word for thanks there, the Greek is, listen very carefully, it's the Greek word eucharisto. Now there's a message in itself. That's the word that gives us the word in English, Eucharist, which is what a lot of the church calls communion. See, there's a whole message in itself. Communion is all about being thankful. Communion is all about giving thanks. Communion is nothing about sin, other than the fact that it's been dealt with. A the Eucharist. A Eucharisto in the Greek is giving thanks. That's what communion should be all about. Now, think yourselves as blessed. Be thankful that I'm not preaching on that this week, and you get the next message in another week, because that would be two messages out of one verse. You never know, that I maybe felt led of the Lord to preach on that next time. But that's not the message today, but that's a message in its own. This word, Eucharisto, the Eucharist, the communion, it's all about giving thanks. It's not about looking at your sin. It's not about dealing with your sin. I'm starting to preach on it. I did say I wouldn't. On to the next page. So, what I want to preach on today, though, is how that links with the second part of this verse. This first part is about being thankful. It's about having gratitude. And what is the second part of this verse about? Prayer. Having gratitude, giving thanks, and prayer. This verse links praying with being thankful. And guys, that's what's blessed me all week. When you get into a state of prayer and a state of thankfulness and combine it together, I'll show you that you cannot do anything but rejoice. I'll show you that in scripture. I was at an event really recently, and I was kind of saying, Nunzi, it kind of depressed me, and it affected me, and it knocked me out of this state of gratitude. But the prayers that I was hearing were breaking my heart. New covenant, born again believers, begging for forgiveness. New covenant, born again believers, begging and pleading with God to send his Holy Spirit. Guys, in my Bible, at the start of Acts, I see the Holy Spirit coming. Can anyone tell me when he went back? No, you can't tell me? You don't know the verse? Or no, he hasn't gone back. New covenant, born again believers, begging and pleading with God to raise up people to save our nation. I'm sorry. That's your job. Begging and pleading with God to save people. Twisting God's arm to try and save people. Do you think God wants people saved or not? Do you think us asking him to do it makes any difference? It's not down to him. He's done what he needs to do. It's now down to us. But anyway, I said that because most of the prayer that I have heard, obviously not in this church, but most of the prayer that I've heard in church and I'm hearing are silly prayers. Next to no thankfulness. All begging, all pleading. Either asking God to do something he has already done, send your Holy Spirit, forgive me. Or asking him to do something we've got the delegated authority to do. Save those people. Well, no, you go and tell them the gospel. Most of the prayers I've heard and hearing are simply under the wrong covenant. Now, Nunzi did a great message on that. Appropriate prayers. You have to pray under the covenant you are under. Is that right? Did I say that right? You have to pray according to the covenant you are under. Thank you. We don't have to pray, or we shouldn't pray old covenant prayers. We pray new covenant prayers. This gets me into trouble sometimes. You know that the Lord's Prayer is an old covenant prayer. Don't pray it. It's not for us to pray. Oh, but it's the Lord's Prayer. No, it's not. Teach us the prayer that John prayed. It's what the word says. It's not the Lord's Prayer, it's John's Prayer. It's an Old Covenant prayer. Anyway, I wasn't going to preach on that either. So get on to the good stuff, Mike. What does it mean? Most of the prayers I'm hearing are Old Covenant prayers. They're not appropriate prayers. We live under the new covenant, the covenant of grace. With such goodness and such mercy, most of our prayers should be about being thankful. We've been given so much, we have received so much, we've got so much. We should be praying thanks. That's almost it. We shouldn't be praying for healing. We should be thanking God that we've got healing. Yeah, we might not see it manifest in our lives, but we've got it. He's given us it. He's not holding it back. We shouldn't be asking God for resources. We should be thanking him for the resources he's already given us. But I'm not seeing it, Vic. No, yeah, because we haven't just manifested it in our lives. We don't have full epinosis yet. Listen to last week's message. I'll pause to take breath. The new covenant is so amazing. Our prayer lives should just be full of being thankful. We sang today, we have all we need. Okay, if we have all we need, stop thanking. Stop asking God for stuff. Start thanking him for the stuff that he's already given us. How much spiritual blessings do you have?
All.
Well, stop asking him for spiritual blessings. That's Old Covenant. Start thanking him for all the spiritual blessings you've got. You know, ask him how to get it manifest in my life. You know what he'll tell you? Listen to Vic's message for last week. Plant a seed. Amen. Bless what you've already got. We live under the new covenant. The vast majority of our prayers should be like this in verse 3. It should be linking prayer with thankfulness. Prayer with gratitude. Prayers of thankfulness. Prayers of gratitude. Do you think this is what Paul's about? Are you ready for a bit of scripture bingo? Just bang, bang, bang. Okay, Romans 1, verse 8 to 10. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. First, I thank my God, and I'm praying. Paul, prayers of thankfulness. 1 Corinthians. I think I've done them in order, so it should be. Have I done them in order? Yes. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. He's thanking God. He's speaking to God. That's prayer. He's prayer with thankfulness. Ephesians 1, 15 and 16. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What's he linking there again? Thanks and prayer. Prayers. Philippians 1, 3 and 4. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy. I've just noticed it's also linking prayer and thankfulness with joy. I didn't notice that when I was doing the message. That's good. That works in really well with what I'm going to say later on. Prayer, thankfulness. Here's Paul doing it again. 1 Thessalonians 1, 2, 1, 2 and 3. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Thanks to God. Prayers. I could go on. He's got more books. But I won't. Prayer and thankfulness intertwined with one another. This for me is what prayer is, or one of the major facets of prayer. Now, when we talk about prayer, it's not just on your knees at your side of your bed with your hands clasped. It's being in relationship with God, isn't it? It's your relationship with the Lord. It should all be about thankfulness. All of it. That's what the major facets of prayer is. You know, after what God has done for us and given us through the finished work of Jesus Christ, shouldn't our prayer lives just be full of being thanks? If we truly understand what he's done for us through Jesus, all we should be doing is being thankful. Not moaning about this, not moaning about that, not griping, not complaining, not begging or pleading. We've got nothing to beg or plead for. What do we have? We have it all. How much has he given us pertaining to life and godliness? All things. If you're sitting here today as a born-again believer, your prayer life should just be thankfulness. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There's a nice simple prayer. You're just heading along the road and you see something. Thank you. That's a good prayer. Amen? But it's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of thinking. We need to live... Now, I came up with this. I didn't find it on the internet. I came up with it myself. We need to have an attitude of gratitude. Now, I did look it up eventually. It's there. But that's what we need to have. This attitude of being thankful all the time. This attitude of being grateful all the time. We need to live this life. Because the word talks about it's praying all the time. Pray, I'll go into these verses. Praying without ceasing. In all things give thanks. All the time should be about gratitude. And I tell you guys, life is easier and better if you're grateful. I couldn't remember his name. Tony, what's his name? Who's the Tony guy? Tony Robbins. He's all about that. These coaches, these life coaches, these new age guys, one of their big things is about gratitude. The more of a life of gratitude you live, the better you feel, the more joy you will experience. So I did something that I tell you never to do. Internet search. Okay, I did a Google search. I didn't go to Wiki, but I did a Google search. And the first thing that came up was this page on Psychology Today. It's a magazine you can get, but they've also got a website. Psychology Today. And it spoke about gratitude bringing more contentment, better health, better sleep, stronger relationships. And here's a good one. It promotes a giving heart. Guys, head over to Psalms and the Proverbs. I've not got time to do it. But you'll see that that's all biblical. Thousands of years before Tony Robbins. See, again, I'm saving you £5,000. You don't need to go and see him for a week. Just come here. Put something in the offering pot. I'll be fine. £5,000 would be nice, but that's okay. More contentment, better health, better sleep, stronger relationship promotes a giving heart. And it said this, and remember this is coming from a secular viewpoint, okay? A secular viewpoint, that everybody has something to be thankful for if you're alive. Because they were going down this whole thing, you know, I'm not going to get into the odds of your sperm getting into that ovum and that sperm surviving and that egg producing. But according to the secular world, we really should be thankful that we're actually here. Breathing and alive. This, what they called it, this amazing gift of life. Many don't get that opportunity. Many have that opportunity cut short. If you've got one thing to be thankful for, your backside's on that chair, you're breathing, you're alive. On this amazingly beautiful creation. Or let's even not go spiritual, just on this beautiful earth. We have this gift of life. You can be thankful for that. But I don't want to go on that secular viewpoint. Let's look at the spiritual. Look at this from a spiritual viewpoint. We have so much to be thankful for, so much more to be grateful for. I was sitting in the biblical garden on Thursday, and I started listing what I was thankful for, what I was grateful for, what I was going to thank God for. And the list was endless. I don't know what it was about the state I was in, but it was just endless. I was thankful for my wife, my marriage. I have somebody that loves me and respects me and is proud of me. I was thankful for my kids. You know, I am in the fantastic, blessed position that I can be so thankful for that I actually like my grown-up kids. They're actually decent human beings. And I can be friendly with them. I'm so blessed with Lydia. You know, just so blessed, so thankful for my granddaughter. Thankful that my car was in for an MOT. You know why? Thankful that I had a car. Thankful for my family, my friends, the resources I have, my home. Thankful for my friends in India, that I get to go to India. And then I start to think, I'm so thankful for air travel, for airplanes. Last year, I've been in India, I've been in Myanmar, Singapore, Greece, France, Germany. Hopefully going to China, going to India. So grateful for airplanes. So grateful and thankful for the airplane that my J is in right now. Coming back to the UK. Guys, there are so many things that we can be thankful for. So thankful for the biblical garden that I was sitting in. The birds, the insects, the trees, the grass. Even the wind. I was sitting listening to the wind going through the trees. And it was like music. I was so thankful to it. For it. I was so thankful for the gaggle of screaming Spaniard kids that came in. But I was in such a state that didn't bother me. I said, bless, I hope they have a great time. Bless them. Man, I was in so much joy. There was one time, I think for 5 minutes, and I sat looking at an Acer tree. You know what an Acer tree is? It's like maple thing with the big red leaves. I just sat staring at that because it was one of the most beautiful things I'd ever seen. Why was I like that? Because I was in a state of prayer and thankfulness, and it led to joy. I just in a simple, simple thing. Now, I'm not telling you this to say, oh, look how great Vic is. What did I tell you last week? I'd been a bit low, remember? So I'm not like this all the time. But my lightning-fast brain linked this almost state of euphoria and joy. I hadn't been drinking, I hadn't had any illegal substances, but this state of euphoria had come out of prayer being thankful. And it's kind of what the word says. We have so much to be thankful for. And at that point, I hadn't even started on the spiritual things. I hadn't even looked at the spiritual things. It was all physical, material, family. Just so blessed, so thankful. Now you might be sitting there and thinking, well, Vic, I'm not as blessed as you in terms of relationship, families, resources. Okay, maybe I get that, but are you born again? Well, you've got so much to be thankful for. You're born again. Where are you spending eternity?
Hello.
Something to be thankful for, Evelyn?
Absolutely.
All that stuff you've done in the past, you've been born again. You've been forgiven. Something to be thankful for? Doesn't matter what you're doing in the physical now, what you're thinking, but in the eyes of God, you have 100% acceptance. You are completely righteous in His eyes if you've been born again. Is that something to be thankful for? So you could be, I was going to say, you could be on your bottom, just on your, that expression, on your backside, having nothing. You've still got something to be thankful for. You're born again, you're forgiven, you're righteous, and you're going to heaven. Let's not even look, we haven't even looked at the possibility for full healing, full prosperity, full acceptance, full joy, full peace. You're sitting there and telling me you've got nothing to be thankful for, you're deluded. I've got nothing to be thankful for. I can't be woo-ha like you, Vic, because I've got nothing to be thankful for. Rubbish. Absolute rubbish and nonsense. If you're born again, you've got so much that you can be thankful for right now and for in the future. Masses of stuff. Don't tell me you have nothing to be thankful for. I mean, for a start, he's in this amazing fellowship with this fantastic pastor. Not quite the response I was expecting, Polly. We've all got things to be thankful for, in the physical and in the spiritual. If we're not, it's a mindset, and we've decided not to be thankful. There you go. You've decided, or we've decided. Because when I was feeling low the other week, there was lots of different things causing it. I'd been out of the Word and all that. But when I look back now, I just wasn't in an attitude of thankfulness. I just wasn't being grateful. And it got me down. I just moved out of that state of thankfulness, that state of prayer. And I was starting to feel really low. I was letting something get at me rather than being thankful and being grateful. We all have things to be thankful for. I'm going to tell you, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I had a weird dream during the week. No, it's okay. It's all right. It's not that kind of weird. I had a really weird dream during the week. And I think it came from some teaching I'd heard from Andrew Womack when he talks about being thankful. So I was in this state of thankfulness and I was meditating on it. And I had this weird dream. I'd been kidnapped by terrorists. Right? And I was being publicly killed on YouTube. Yeah, so I was on YouTube, and it was okay. I gave the most amazing testimony. I did, and speech, and I'm sure thousands were saved because of it. But anyway, I was really good. What a witness I was in that dream. But anyway, the crux of it was, I was on my knees, and live on YouTube, and I'd given this great testimony, and they were about to behead me, because it was a certain type of terrorist that was going to behead me. And the last thing I said on YouTube was, I am so thankful that's a new and sharp knife. Now, that I know, it's because I'd heard Andrew Womack preaching that before. Even if you're about to get your head cut off, you can be thankful if it's a new knife. And I used to think, that's just taking it a touch too far on. Because, you know, if you're getting your head cut off, I'm not going to be worried about getting gangrene or tetanus or something. or whatever. But you know, because I'd been focusing on this message so much, it had been running through my head the whole time, I dreamt about it. And I was thankful that they'd got a new and a sharp knife to cut my head off. Guys, there's always something to be thankful for. And I used to laugh at Andrew when he said that. I thought, that's just nuts. But, man, I'm blaming him. I'm dreaming about it now. There's always something to be thankful. If not in the physical, in the spiritual. I mean, in that case, if you are there on your knees about to be beheaded, and you're just about to meet Jesus, there's always that thing to be thankful for. Stephen, think of Stephen, just thought of that. Stephen being martyred, just about to die. Jesus standing for him. Guys, look, just a little aside. If Jesus stood for Stephen, he's going to stand for you. I think that's awesome. That is something to be thankful for. On the very point of death, we've got something to be thankful for. If we're fully persuaded. Amen. So there's always something to be thankful for, even if it's a sharp knife. Hallelujah. If we're in the physical and we're breathing and we're alive, there's something to be thankful for because we have this thing called hope. So even in the physical, if things are not going well, and if we are going through issues, there are things to be thankful for because, guys, things pass. There will be a light at the end of the tunnel and it'll not be another train. Amen. There's always something to be thankful for. Being thankful is essential. Being grateful is essential. And this should be our prayer life. Amen. It's really the crux of what I'm getting at. I shared with Nunzi, you know, I'm quite an intelligent guy. But sometimes I'm a wee bit slow. Sometimes I just don't get things. So I was telling her about how really sharp I was when I was preparing for this message. I was doing my mind map about all I was going to preach on. And I'd made this link between prayer and being thankful. So I wrote down, I said, there's a verse about, there's a verse about praying, isn't there? There's a verse that says, pray without ceasing. So I wrote that down. And I thought, well, there's another verse about being thankful all the time. What's that? Oh yeah, it's in all things give thanks. So I wrote that down. And I was just praying at that. And then I thought, now, there's another verse about things that you do all the time. I think it was about rejoice all the time. Rejoice evermore. So I wrote that down. And then I got my phone out. And I started doing a search for these verses. So a first search, I went, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So I wrote it down. And then I looked at the next one. In all things give thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. So I wrote it down. I mean, everybody's got it already, the penny's dropped, but the penny hadn't dropped for me. I thought, now that third one, rejoice evermore. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. So I thought, wow! So then I opened my Bible. So 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Links all these things together. Rejoice evermore. All the time. For the rest of eternity. From now until whenever. All the time during your life. Rejoice. All the time. Not in the good times. Well, yes, in the good times. But also in not so good times. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. So rejoice all the time. Pray all the time. In everything, give thanks. Every situation, all the time. See how these are linked? All the time, rejoice. All the time, pray. All the time, give thanks. And this lightning fast brain of mine had this light bulb moment. And that they're all linked. And I wonder if I'm not having as much joy I need, or if I'm not rejoicing all the time, I wonder if I pray in thankfulness, will I be able to rejoice? If I pray in thankfulness, will I have joy in my life? And guys, the answer is yes, because the scripture says so. And it's what I had on Thursday. For that afternoon, I linked the three of them together and I was in a state of constant prayer. You say, well, you're cycling, you can't be in a state of constant prayer. Yes, you can. Prayer is about being in a relationship with the Lord Jesus. That is an amazing crow that's just flown past, Lord. That's fantastic. Look at the way it's flying. That is awesome. That's prayer. Being able to rejoice all the time is possible if we're in a state of prayer and in a state of thankfulness. If we're in a state of relationship with Jesus and we're being thankful. You cannot, I repeat, the word says it, you cannot not have joy. Thank you for that one nodding head. I know you're sitting there and you're thinking this is just so deep and you're all taking it in. I hope. Being able to rejoice all the time is possible if we are praying with thankfulness and gratitude. That's what this verse is saying. If we are in this constant state of gratitude and thankfulness, this constant state of relationship with the Lord, we cannot not have joy. We have to have joy and be rejoicing. Now you're saying, well, I'm not in a state of joy right now, Vic. Well, that's a real shame. I blame the preacher. But you know, if you're saying, well, I'm not like that, Vic. Well, yes, hands up. Neither am I. Not all the time. But what we can see is, if you're sitting there and saying, Vic, I am just not rejoicing. Well, there's one of those missing. You're either not in prayer, or you're praying the wrong way. If you're praying with thankfulness, you have to rejoice. If you're in this state and you're thanking God that you're forgiven, that you're righteous, that you know you've been healed, just need some knowledge to get it manifest. If you know your prosperity is there waiting for you. If you're thankful for your meal. I mean, let's just talk about, we should be thankful that we live in the West. And that we've all got clothes. Hallelujah. You've all got clothes to wear to come to church. There's food on the table over there. You're probably going back to more food tonight. You don't need it, but it'll be there. How did we get here? Where are we going to when we're finished? Some of us might be going to meet family, friends. We're all going to homes. You know, just on the physical, we've got things to be thankful for. If we're in that constant state of thankfulness, and here's another one, I had put this into the message, but if we're in a constant state of thankfulness for what we've got, and we bless what we've got and don't curse what we've got, we'll be in a much better state. I've only got 10 quid. Only got 10 quid. Well, you can get a KFC for that, hallelujah. Bless it. Get some indecent. You know, I've only got 10 quid. I tell you what, that's more than the vast majority of my pastors in India have got. And the folk in their churches. I've only got 2 bedrooms. Well, you've got a house. It was Bethany. You know, you've got a house. How did you get here? You've either got a car or you've got someone with a car. Hallelujah. Thankful for that. Anyway. So that's where I was on Thursday, praying in thankfulness and gratitude. And I have to tell you, I don't know what it feels like, because you know, I've never taken drugs, but I was high as a kite. I was as high as a kite on Thursday afternoon. Just euphoric. I was rejoicing in everything I was seeing. The gaggle of Spanish kids that come in to disrupt my meditation. Hallelujah. It was awesome. I'd seen those three concepts together. The prayer, thankfulness, joy. Prayer, thankfulness, rejoicing. And I'd seen those passages in 1 Thessalonians. And I'd linked them. And I was loving them. And what a buzz it was. I can't explain the joy that was surging through my body. Because of being thankful and being in prayer. It was amazing. Now I'm not saying, oh, look how great Vic is. Because I wasn't like that yesterday. Amen. Hallelujah. But you know what? I know I'm in a better place than what I was last week. Because both my teams got beat yesterday. So what? Who cares? Doesn't matter. I cycled back to the garage, right? So I'd given them their 4 hours. I'd cycled back to the garage. And I went in. The lassie was there. Oh, I'm really sorry, Mr. Cameron. Really sorry. But it's going to be another hour or an hour and a half. We're running really late. The guys had to go for lunch. We had to stop the job. And it was like, yeah, okay, no bother. I'll be sitting over there. Now, that's not me. That is not the normal me. Another hour and a half. The car's not ready. You've had it for 4 hours. You told me it would be 4 hours. You've had it for over 4 hours. No, it's, nah, it's okay, no bother. So I kind of knew there was something going on and something different. Because normal Vic didn't rear his ugly head. The Vic that can be influenced by prayer and thankfulness and be able to rejoice, thankfully, was in there for that young lassie on Thursday. I just went and sat, had a coffee, read the word, had a laugh at the TV, watched antics that Boris is up to this week, and just waited for my car. What was the difference? I'll tell you what the difference was. Because this normal nut job was in the Word and was thankful and was in relationship with his Lord. And guys, we don't do that to say, oh, how great Vic is, how great we are. But what a kind of different afternoon that young lassie behind the counter had. That unspiritual Vic didn't turn up. Amen? That deserves a big amen. And of course the car passed its test. Because I was blessed and highly favoured. Nothing could faze me that afternoon. Why? Because I was in a state of prayer, state of gratitude and thankfulness. I was full of joy. Now, I am not telling you this to show how great I am, because I told you last week I'm not always there. But guys, I can testify to it this week. Get into the state of prayer, get into the state of thankfulness, and list what you're thankful for. I don't normally give pastoral commands, But I would like to give one today. Get a bit of paper and write down what you're thankful for and be really specific and just keep going and keep going and you'll fill the page. Do a physical one, do a spiritual one. You'll fill a page. You've all got so much to be thankful for. Well, no, I haven't. Yes, you have. If you get into this mindset of being thankful. I've only got 10 quid. Thank you for that £10, Lord. What am I going to do with that? Am I going to spend it on food? Am I going to spend it on myself? All right, I'll buy this and I'll put them at that. Be thankful and bless what you've got. I had a bit of a revelation on Thursday night as well. It was saying, be thankful for all the seeds you've ever sown. And bless all the seeds you've ever sown. And I'm sitting there thinking, man, I have thousands of hours of teaching. I'm going to bless that. To change it, to change people. We've all got so much to be thankful for. Not to curse what we have in our hands. You know, when the little lad came up to Jesus with the loaves and the fishes, they didn't say, oh, that's not enough. That's just not enough. Just go and have your lunch. No, he was thankful for it. He blessed it. And what happened? What an afternoon those guys had. Yeah. As much fish sandwiches as they wanted. Now, me, myself, I would prefer fish fingers and white bread and tomato sauce. But, no, that's heresy. It's tomato sauce. But how blessed were they? Because Jesus took a little thing, gave thanks for it, and blessed it, and used it. That's what we need to do. But it starts with this. That might be a message coming on. I'm just kind of formulating this in my head now. The message today is get into prayer. Now that's just a relationship with God. It's not, don't go into your prayer closets and hide yourself away. Although you can do that, but no, not all the time. Prayer is just being in a relationship with God. It's looking at a beautiful tree and saying, thank you for that tree, Father. That is awesome. Look at the way, that's prayer. I'm so thankful for that tree, for the shade that it's given, for the home that it's given, for the birds. Conkers. Who can be thankful for conkers? Amen. Last year, when I just got back in a relationship with my younger brother, first time I went with them, or saw them, I was out with my nephew getting conkers off trees. Now, I'm so thankful for that. So thankful for that conker tree in Grant Park. And it's got an amazing harvest this year. Wonderful crop. So there, be thankful for that. So much to be thankful for. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18 tells us about praying evermore, rejoicing evermore, giving thanks all the time. They're all linked. We can rejoice all the time, forevermore. We can rejoice under all circumstances if we have a constant, if we're in a constant state of prayer and a constant state of gratitude. And that's a mindset, guys. We have to choose to do that. We have to choose. I saw a Facebook thing. I think Barney put it up first. It was two guys sitting in a bus going in the same direction. One's looking at the cliff face and it's just nothing. And the other's looking out the other side of the bus and going at the view and saying, this is awesome. We choose which way we look. We choose the mindset that we operate under. You know, are we pessimists or optimists? Half full, half empty. Hallelujah. I always like a half empty glass because you can top it up. Amen. Hallelujah. Prayer should be about thankfulness. I hear myself praying. And I do hear, thank you, thank you, thank you. Very rarely am I asking for stuff. It's all thank you. You know, if I need healing, it's thank you that healing is provided. Thank you that you put a model in place. Thank you that there are teachers and preachers and books there that I can get that epinosis from. Here we have a model of how we can have joy in our lives, of how we can rejoice under all circumstances. It's praying without ceasing. It's being in relationship with your Lord, and it's being thankful for all things. In all things, give thanks. Let's get on to the second part of that verse. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It is God's will that you pray in thankfulness, because it is God's will that you can rejoice. That's what God wants for your life. And he's given us all, the all word, we've used that heaps of times today. He's given us all things that we can be thankful for. So I want to challenge you this week. Get some time to meditate on this message, on those verses about praying and being thankful. And I dare you. If you get in a state of thankfulness and you're in that state of prayer, I dare you not to have joy. The word says so. Amen. Hallelujah. We hope and pray that you have been blessed by listening to this message from Murray Grace Fellowship. Our vision is to provide all our messages free of charge. And for this, we thank those brothers and sisters who provide financially into the ministry. If you would like to partner with us in the preaching of the gospel, please go to our podcast site at mgf.podbean.com, where you can find our partnership link. Thank you for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen.